Hope everybody had a great weekend. A lot of sports, a lot of football, a lot of fun. You're listening to Steen on Sports. I'm bringing you sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up. If you want to go out and take a listen, go to wherever you get your podcast. We have Bills Jets tonight. Starts at 6:30, Westwood 1. Excited to get that last game of the weekend. A lot to talk about. As always, want to thank our sponsors of the show, Heritage Building Maintenance, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, and Broadlawns Medical Center. We will talk more about all of them as we move along. Before we get started on sports, it is Patriot Day today. 22 years ago, every time I say that, I've said it today. I have kids that are 27, going to be 25, and going to be 20. I'm horrible at this. Going to be 23. I'll say 23. I remember, I do believe, because my youngest was, I just dropped him off at my sister-in-law's. And a day that will always be remembered. A thing that a lot of other places in the world go through on a daily basis. It never happened here. An attack on your own sovereign land. And, you know, it's just another, and 22 years later, you know, we've lost some of the remembrance part, right? It's difficult. It was a difficult thing to watch. In the whole scheme of things, it could have been a lot worse. It has, you know, it changed things in Washington, D.C. It changed things in New York City. It changed things at the Pentagon. It changed things how we conduct our everyday life 22 years later. When you go to airports, it's different. We lost a lot of really good people, and you know, you always need to take a few minutes and think about this stuff, you know, and find a way, because I mean we some families lost a lot of good people, some people who their job in life was to take care of people, gave up their own lives trying to help and save others. There's, you know, when you go through remembrance today, there were a couple that kind of stuck out to me, and you know, it's just tough, when you have to tell family members what have happened, and when you, you know, you're seeing all this on live TV, you know, and not knowing all the ins and outs and everything that happened. And, I was sorry about that. I was taking some time so I could find this. Now, and I read this today, and it just brought back, and I remember reading it on that day. I mean, I remember that day like it was yesterday, which is not easy for me because I don't remember a lot of things. This was from Brian Sweeney. He was a passenger on United Airlines Flight 175. It was a phone message to his wife. He said, "Hey, Jules, this is Brian. Listen, I'm on an airplane that's been hijacked. If things don't go well, they're not looking good. I want you to know that I absolutely love you. I want you to do good, have good times. Same with my parents. I'll see you when you get here. I want you to know that I totally love you. Bye, babe. I hope I will call you." and he did not. I mean, that's something that after 22 years, we can't forget. And we get into our busy times and we get into a, you know, we have a different political arena nowadays. It's yelling, screaming, thinking that whoever yells the loudest should be the one that's in power. It should be the exact opposite. It's always been the exact opposite. So I have a hard time understanding how we got here. Well, we got here because, and I'll even compare it a little bit to doing stuff like this, doing sports radio. I like doing sports radio because I like talking about sports. I've always had sports opinions, and I just like talking about it. I like the friendships I've made. I like the fact that that 3 days a week I get to sit across one of my best buds and talk sports. I sit across from a person at work. All we do all day long is talk sports. People stop me in the office and talk sports. I don't have to shout from the rooftops. I don't have to have people call in and yell and scream at them. I don't have to do any of that. I just want to talk sports because I think sports are vastly important in my life, in my family's life, in my kids' life, and I think in everyday life. I think everything about sports make it something that people should do. It's a good way to meet people. It's a good way to make friends. It's a good way to understand work ethic and all of that. But I just, you know, when I woke up this morning, I'm like, okay, man, there's a lot of sports to talk about today. But this matters. Maybe it matters to me more than it matters to others. And the really cool thing is my name's on here so I can talk about it. I'm glad it seemed this year that it's more. I think one of the greatest things when we're trying to when you set political things aside on the negativity of politics and, well, am I one or the other? Am I a Democrat or Republican? Blah, blah, blah. We're Americans. We are Americans on that day. And a couple of things have always stuck out to me. Number one, that we are watching this live. President Bush is in a elementary school classroom reading a book to young kids, and he gets told, and he doesn't get out of character. He continues. He's calm. He's cool. He's being told that we have airplanes that have been hijacked and we don't know where they're at and we need to move you. And his thought process was, I'm finishing this. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to get people panicked. We'll figure our way out of here, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do. Go get everything ready to go. As soon as I can calmly get out of here, we're going to go. We should have known right then and there that no matter what happened, no matter what the politics were after, no matter what any of that, on that day, at that moment, at that time, the president of the United States knew what he had to do. When he went downtown and he's in New York and he's down talking to those people, it mattered. When he's talking to firefighters who haven't had any sleep, who are fighting to save people, their people. And one of the biggest days that I can remember is he went out with the world watching and delivered a pitch at a baseball game. And I remember people going, well, what are they doing playing baseball? Because in that particular city, it needed to have something. And baseball had always been that something. And he delivered a first pitch strike. And I'll never forget it. Now, we have rebuilt, we have redone, but we haven't forgotten. I hope we haven't forgotten. It's a lot of people. I mean, they knew what they were doing. If you're gonna do something and do harm, you do it to a place that matters. And I apologize for this, but if you do it in rural Iowa, Nebraska, it doesn't have the same connotation. It doesn't have the same meaning. So it's done on New York City and Washington, D.C. The two places that if you are coming to this country and you've never been to this country, it's two places you want to go. And I like the fact that people at different sporting events this weekend, that people remembered it. It's important. It's the same importance to me as when the shuttle launched and had a malfunction and blew up. That matters. Those people are doing things to enhance our lives and our world. And it's the same with the firefighters and the people in the airplanes and the people everywhere, the people on the ground. So it seems, because I'm assuming I was on the radio last year at this time and I don't remember talking about it. And it bothered me today that I couldn't remember. Now, once again, maybe I did, but I wasn't going to miss it today. So I hope everybody can take a couple of minutes today and just say, you know what? I'm not going to forget this. I'm not going to forget about those people. Maybe every once in a while when I think back, I'm not going to get angry that we have to do different things in an airport, or we have to do different things when we rent cars, or we have to do different things when we have to go places. That's one of the biggest things that people that want to do harm look for, is they want you to be in as big a routine as you can and not be thinking about stuff like that. Because if you're thinking and you're understanding and you're doing things, something like that shouldn't be able to happen again. Doesn't mean that it can't. But the reason I talk about it so much is because I think in going through that, sports played a role in getting us through. I think sports have always done a thing to pull us through. If it was world wars, if it was all the things that happened in the world, or all the tragedies that happened in the world, it seems to me that one place that we can all come together and we can all go through is sports. It's just a different type of passion. And I think that's important. And I think we need to take a step back every once in a while and remember that. Remember the great things that make us all love sports. I want to tell you that this past weekend, I was at the Iowa State-Iowa game. It probably was the most fun I've had at an Iowa-Iowa State game. It was probably the most I went around and talked to a whole bunch of people than I have in a long time. It was fun being in the stadium with everybody. As an Iowa State fan, I wasn't ecstatic about the outcome, but I wasn't upset either. And I wanted to take some time today to say that as well. I wanted to come in and say, you know what? After being there and seeing both fan bases and seeing both coaching staffs and seeing all the players, it made me feel good. I think that as fans of these two programs, that we should be pretty damn proud about how these coaching staffs, and all the people it takes to get this all together, and all the fans and everything. It was a wonderful day. And on this particular weekend, with everything that was going on this particular weekend, I think that was a really, it soothed my heart that you can have something like this and it not be like a lot of other things are. I'm getting tired of people who think that if they scream the loudest or say the most outrageous thing, that makes them the most powerful. It's not how this world works. It's definitely not how this state works. And it's definitely not how this city works. People may think that, but it just doesn't work that way. How those young men and, you know, in victory and in defeat, how the coaches were. I mean, once again, let me say this one more time. Probably I don't say enough about this. When you have role models like Kirk Ferentz and Matt Campbell and Jamie Pollard and Sue Getz, we're in a good place, folks. We have stuff to be happy about. We have stuff to cheer about. And I'm pretty excited to be one of those people that get to talk about it. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Now as a Cyclone, sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. We have Monday Night Football tonight, 6:30 pregame, Westwood 1. To get about a half hour of Zach Gelb. And looking forward to the Bills. They're at the Jets. It's Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk about that here in a few. Going to start out the day with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on. Taking care of your personal business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking. And whenever your phone is in your hand, go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts there. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for things Northwest Bank. You can view the BizBuzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at northwest.bank, northwest.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Iowa State game. I was reading one of my friends, Mr. David Eichel, today, and I thought, man, I'm gonna have to start having a new segment on my show. Things that I disagree with David Eichel about. One of these times, maybe he'll pop back in here and we can talk about them. It was actually a really fun game to be at. Even though as an Iowa State fan, as a football fan, it was really fun to be there. Beautiful day, gorgeous. The tailgating and the camaraderie and all that going on all day long was incredible. Here's a really funny thing that I thought I would throw out there, not to be political or anything. And this is a broad political analogy here. If you're a politician going to a big time college football game, an in-state rivalry, just because we're one of the places that everybody likes to come, it's not a good place. You stick out like a sore thumb. You don't know sports stuff. It was not that it was embarrassing, but it's just, yeah, this, it doesn't fit. You're getting bad advice. You're not swaying voters. You're not, especially with it being an Iowa State game. I mean, it wasn't good. And if you're just out there trying to get name recognition, a couple were, and you were just out there having fun and stuff, man, all in, let you do that. But if you're trying to get people to hold signs and you're trying to get, no, man, it's a football game. We got better things to do. Plus, that's a long ways away. I'm already tired of politics, and you're talking about you're talking about somebody who lived politics for a long time in my life until it became what it is today. Don't want anything to do with it. Okay, getting back to the game. Really had, with opening games, really had no idea what to expect. Knowing that the University of Iowa had a more experienced team, a more experienced quarterback, things had to fall our way. And the really crazy thing, it looked like things were going to fall a certain way, and a couple of things happened. We have a really good drive, had a chance to kick a pretty short field goal, got it blocked. The University of Iowa took advantage. They kick a field goal. They get a touchdown on a third. I mean, deep in their own territory, they get a 59-yard run on a third down, almost a touchdown. Corner caught him before he got there. They ended up scoring a touchdown. They were up 10-0, and then into the third quarter, Rocco Breck threw an interception that they returned for a touchdown. I guess it might have been in the second quarter, because that's what I'm looking at. It was in the second quarter. And before halftime, we kicked a field goal. And this is where I'm disagreeing with David. David said once it was 17-0, Iowa was going to go vanilla, and they, you know, they thought they had the game in hand because they didn't think that you could score points. Well, I know David was at the game. I was at the game. It didn't look like Iowa was going vanilla. They wanted to score. They wanted to score a lot of points. They need to score a lot of points. I thought Iowa State in the second half played really, really well. They held Iowa to a field goal. My thought with David is, hey, we were being conservative. I'm like, I think Iowa State got footing, and it was fun to watch. We scored a touchdown, got the ball back, and just kicked a field goal. Had a chance to try to tie, and it just didn't work out. Some of the things that because I'm not going to talk about, because it's my show. The Hawkeyes won, so I'm not going to talk about the Hawkeyes. I'm going to talk about the Cyclones. For Rocco's first game against a big-time defense, and I think it's fun that when you want to talk about how Rocco did against the defense, you know, then they don't want to talk about that. I mean, he was 23 of 44 for 203 yards. He had a pick. It was a bad pick. It was a bad pick. He said it was a bad pick. And after the fact, in looking at tape, I can almost guarantee you that where he was throwing the football is where his guy was supposed to be, and his guy wasn't there. Because watching him all day long, he's not missing a pass like that. But you can't say that. You can't. He's not going to say that. He's not going to throw his wide receiver under the bus. It was a bad pass. It was on the big side of the field. That's a long way to throw the ball. If you don't see where your guy's breaking to, you throw it at somebody's feet. He's not experienced enough to know that yet. I thought he played fantastic against one of the top defenses in the Big Ten, if not one of the top 10 defenses in the country, along with Iowa State's defense. Once again, John Heacock doing an outstanding job of frustrating offenses. At points in time, our running game was really good. At points in time, I mean, just a lot of little things. Like I said, we gave up a 59-yard run. We gave up when you look at, we gave up 112 yards rushing, and 70 of those were two plays, 59 yards and 11 yards. We gave up 123 in passing yards. To say any different than what we said after the game last year, if you think that one team or the other team is way better than their opponent, it is not true. in these last 2 years, that is just not true. And you had two distinctly different outcomes. Cade McNamara makes a difference for the Iowa Hawkeyes. He still can't. If he wasn't injured, he would be really difficult to control because you can see him. He wants to be able to take off, but knows he can't. He's got a great arm. Seems like a great kid. Extremely happy about that. And here's my other two, because when I was sitting up there after the game and just having a beer before we went back to our parking spot, knowing that it was going to be a long time before we were going to leave our parking spot, you know, we were just kind of sitting there talking, going, you know, it's one of those you needed to build on last year. And you had a true, not true freshman, but freshman quarterback. And then you have a true freshman backing him up. So I think that they understand a Norman Parker defense to know that how it works. You can't turn the ball over and be able to be in a game. You can't miss a field goal. You can't have a field goal blocked. I mean, I take a look at what happened last night when we're watching the Giants and the Cowboys. The Giants, and people forget about this, right? Giants move the ball all the way downfield. They have a third down. They're inside the 20, and you get a bad snap. And so you lose 12 yards on a bad snap. And then you get your field goal attempt blocked and scored for a touchdown. You're done. You've just sucked all of the air out. You're a visiting team playing in Dallas, pouring rain, crappy weather, and you're done. You're fighting everything that you have, and you're fighting everything that you can do, and you're looking at where are we at here? So we were 3-0. We were down 10-0. If you don't throw that pick, and you go in, and it's 10-0. You got a shot. And this is where I agree with David. At 17-0, there's really not a whole lot you can do when you go into the locker room and say, okay, we're going to have to fight like heck. And the best thing that we can do is fight like heck and keep it where it is. So we can't give up any points, which our defense did not. Now, I think it's because if you want to compare defenses, they are both outstanding elite defenses. And Coach Eacock was not going to let them blow this game open. Or you can take David's viewpoint and said, well, Iowa just stopped running plays, which I sat and watched the game. It sure didn't seem like they stopped running plays. And they still fought back, and they still fought to get 2013. They made a couple of really good plays to get the ball back, and it just didn't happen. Against an Iowa defense that's really good, probably the best defense that Iowa State's going to play this year. So for all you, I'll stop. Great win by Iowa. They have a winnable game. They have a lot of winnable games. Do I think they're going to have to play better to get where they want to go? Absolutely. But they are an outstanding team, an outstanding coach team. Kudos, everything. You guys deserve all of that. Talking about the Cyclones, you can't be happy about that. It's not a, oh man, we gave it everything. That's fine. We have to keep getting better. The coaching staff's going to have to now accept the fact that Rocco can handle more. Rocco is going to have to be able to handle more. from seeing his parents tailgating, saying hi to them, I don't think that's going to be an issue. What a great family, by the way. We have things that you can build on. I mean, I'm looking at one right here. Special teams. Punting. I mean, that is a world-class punter for the University of Iowa. And they both had 6 punts, Tyler Perkins and Torrey Taylor. He averaged 46.3, and Tyler Perkins averaged 51.8. Our field goal, Contreras' field goal, he made it. He came back and made one. Made another. Got an extra point. We did what we needed to do, and we stopped them on a drive. We had time on the clock, and you just couldn't get it done. So for all the Iowa State fans out there that, oh, Campbell this and Campbell, stop. You know, the only thing that I think Matt Campbell has done since he's been there that people want to question, but I don't think you can question. Now, after a couple of beers, maybe you can question, is he's loyal. And maybe he was too loyal for too long, and it got stagnant in the offensive part of the room. Gosh, man, if that's the worst thing in life that happens, I'd be pretty darn happy. Oh my gosh, people are mad at me because I was loyal to a coach and a friend. Dude, we have to get better every week. We're young. We have a redshirt freshman and a true freshman are our quarterbacks. We are young. We're going to be just fine. University of Iowa is going to be just fine. And I'll say this last thing in 5 seconds for the University of Iowa. Get it done this year, because when you're out of divisions and you have to play different teams at different times, and you're not, I mean, our chances of playing each other, I hope it continues, but I don't know if it's always going to be there. You're going to have a better team, and you're going to have to perform better if you want to get where you want to be in these next 4 to 5 years. The same with us. Because there's a lot of really good football teams out there that treat football differently than we do. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. We have Monday Night Football tonight. The Bills at the Jets. Josh Allen. Aaron Rodgers, big game, AFC East. Who's going to be up there with Miami? Who's going to have to make up games? What a great start to the season. Man, we have a ton of football. I'm going to go through some just some little potpourri here for this segment here, then do a deep dive on the NFL, then kind of do a deep dive on college football. We had some bets out there, see how we did. A lot of exciting stuff happening out there. This segment's going to be brought to you by Broadlawns Medical Center. Once again, last week we went to the Broadlawns Medical Clinic over by Drake. It's on the east side of Walgreens, which is kind of a cool thing. Really trying to enhance that neighborhood. Bringing Broadlawns in is a huge deal. A big time. Move for the city of Des Moines and for Broadlawns. We have the Rose Soiree on Thursday. So very excited about that as well. And very excited to be a part of the Broadlawns team, marketing, Broadlawns. It's dear to my heart. I love some of the things that they're doing, the medical clinic being one, doing more of a deep dive on brain issues, Alzheimer's, all of that. I lost my father from that. And this is, I don't know how many times I've told this story now. I apologize if it's been a lot, but So I lose my father because of Alzheimer's, but I lost my mother because of my dad's Alzheimer's as well, because my mom was taking care of him. And it took years from her as well. And so it is very dear to my heart, and I can't wait to become more involved in that. It's one of the things that keeps me going. So I appreciate everything that Broadlawns and their team are doing and have done. Okay, just some potpourri or pet peeves. I knew this was coming. I didn't know how quickly it was going to show up, but the United States doesn't even meddle in the World Championship. So what happens? Oh, by golly, all your LeBron James and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis and Jason Tatum and Draymond Green and Devin Booker and Damian Lillard and De'Aaron Fox and Kyrie Irving, well, we'll come and we'll be the savior. Where were you? We're like, well, we should have had a different team. Yeah, we should have had people like you guys intermixed with what we took. We were small. We were young. We hadn't had a lot of international experience, didn't really understand the game. I mean, there's a lot of things there. But these guys like to have, you know, they like to have their time off, and they like to have their cake and eat it too. And a little disappointed in that. I do believe, though, that if you would take some of those, because I think there were some kids on that team that played really, really well. I think it was kind of mismanaged with what experience they did have. I think they played them too long. I think some of the younger guys needed some extra time. I think, and not that he is a former Cyclone, when Tyrese Halliburton was on the floor, the team played better. Period. They played better when he was on the floor, and then Jalen Brunson, and I not my call, man. Steve Kerr is a really good coach, got a lot of rings, but it is true. The teams that beat us were bigger and more adept at playing international basketball. So people, you know, all the people that said that, I mean, LeBron makes a difference because he is big. The one that makes it, Anthony Davis makes a difference. We didn't have a big. So it's going to be pretty exciting to see what happens. I mean, that comes up. I mean, that's the, you know, that's a big time thing. And it was kind of disappointing that stuff happened. One of the big stories this weekend, Michigan State suspended Coach Mel Tucker. Response to allegations, inappropriate conversations and whatever. And Mel Tucker and his lawyer actually said today, and this is what I would have said as well. Hey, was it stupid that I was doing that? Absolutely. Does Michigan State like the fact that I'm their coach and haven't been doing a very good job? And if they have to let me go, they have to pay me. Or if they can get this to stick, they don't have to pay me. So they're going to make a big deal out of this. I mean, that's his – he's in trying to save his job by saying it was consensual, telephone, not harassment. He's saying, you know, so they can't just fire me because I'm horrible, because they're going to have to pay me some of my money. I want, but if they do this, then they don't have to pay me my money. So I can see that this wasn't a bad thing. He didn't say, hey, I'm a good coach. I can rebound from this. He knows he's in over his head there. He just wants his money. I thought that was extremely interesting. I don't even know what to think about some of this stuff anymore. I wasn't expecting to see this today. And I find this quite, interesting that U.S. life expectancy has declined to 76.4 years, the shortest it's been in nearly two decades, 20 years. And it's the U.S. life expectancy declined, and it says this from a country with the most expensive health care in the world. That's part of our problem, is our health care system is so expensive that a lot of people, even though we don't want to say that, that's one of the reasons a lot of people can't afford health care. I need to get into this, but I'm gonna hold off on that one there. It is a very interesting thing. I did agree with this today. So you have voters in the AP poll today who voted and put Alabama three spots ahead of Texas. You can't do that, folks. They just beat Texas. You cannot put them ahead of Texas after losing to Texas. And it wasn't relatively close. It wasn't like it's like the third in Nick Saban's 17 years, it's their third game that they've actually played outside of their home state on their non-conference schedule. That is crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy that I don't even know what to say with how the SEC does some of their how they do some of their scheduling. And it's really hard for me as a Big 12 fan and Iowa State fan to root for Texas, but anytime I can root against the SEC, I am in. There are seven teams in college football through the early season so far that have not allowed a sack: Michigan, Duke, TCU, Iowa State, BYU, Marshall, and Western Kentucky. Another thing that I thought was pretty relevant over the weekend was the fact that we did not give up a sack to that Iowa defense, which is crazy. We're going to talk a little bit about the Deion Sanders and the effect of Colorado and the effect that he's having on college football. And people are trying to figure out what to do. They don't know what to do. They want to say that he's not that guy, and he's not a good coach, and it's just a bunch of gobbledygook that he speaks. Man, all I know is his players buy in, and I mean buy in a big time way. Here's how I don't have time. I'm gonna have to wait. Just how I will do this in the next when we come back after this break. Top of the hour. Monday Night Football is coming up tonight. Peyton Manning. So the Manning cast is coming up tonight. I have a stat here about Peyton Manning's media company. Everything this guy touches is gold. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Top of the hour, second hour. Be right back. A second hour of this Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. And the website, 1700thechamp.com. We have Bills Jets tonight, 6:30. A little bit of Zach Gelb, and then we're going to jump right into the last game of the week. Might be the biggest game of the week. Can't wait to see that one. A little Aaron Rodgers action. We are actually, the boys are coming over tonight. We're going to sit and watch the game. It should be very fun. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance, providing peace of mind and protecting the future of your buildings and its occupants. Heritage Building Maintenance, as certified partners of Science Proven Microbial Control, provides an advanced level of janitorial and custodial services. Through data-driven research and development, customers who participate in the Science Proven program can rest assured they are receiving state-of-the-art surface protection, making their building environments cleaner, safer, and more healthy for all their occupants. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about Heritage Building Maintenance and the Science Proven Microbial Control Program, feel free to reach out to one of the dedicated team members through their website at heritagebldg.com or call 515-868-0842. Heritage Building Maintenance, thank you very much for being a part of our program. Okay, so doing a deep dive here. Right before we went to break, Peyton Manning's media company, it was founded in 2020. So three going on 4 years. It is now 40 plus employees valued at 400 plus million. And this was a couple of articles, but it says, I think he'll make more money on this than his entire football NFL career. His NFL career, he made $250 million. Peyton Manning touches, Peyton Manning scores. It's pretty exciting. And this is a big one for me. I'm going to call this the Kale rule for my nephew. And I invoke this Kale rule because every time that we go to a Minnesota Timberwolves game to see someone who Kale enjoys playing NBA basketball that's not on the Minnesota Timberwolves, they never play or they never show up. Under new rules in the NBA, teams would be fined $100,000 for first violation, $250,000 for a second violation, and $1 million more than the previous penalty for each additional violation of not having people play at that aren't back-to-back or are not, they can't be televised games as well. And I think that they needed to add in even one more. I think it's, if they're interdivisional, they can't be doing it as well. So we'll see what happens. But I'm going to call it the Kale rule. So congrats, Kale. You have your own rule in the NBA now by me. But I think it's well worth it. I did a bunch of picking this on the show on Friday. So I'm just curious because my actual betting that I did this weekend, I was about 50-50. I lost some really close, you know, nothing. I didn't lose anything outrageous, but I missed some things that were pretty close. The first one that I talked about was Kansas-Illinois. And I took Kansas, and I took the over. So I had Kansas won by 11, and the over-under, this is crazy, the over-under was 56.5, and it was 57. So there's a, I'm going to keep track here, there's a 2-0. So I have two on the win side here. Maybe I should have taken my stuff from here. Next one I had was Notre Dame, North Carolina. Why don't I see that one? That's strange. I may have to come back to that one. Ball State. So I had Notre Dame. It came right after Delaware. So it's got to be right. Let me check here. Yep, there it is. Notre Dame. And I took Notre Dame in the 7.5, 45-24. So I'd be, wow, I should have bet money on these games. Now I'm 3-0. Next one I had was Colorado, Nebraska. And it was 36-14 Colorado. I had Colorado 3.5. And I took the under, and it was 50, and the under was 59.5. Two more. I'm an idiot. I should have listened to what I was talking about on the radio show, not what I was thinking after the fact. I am now 5-0. Next up, I had Utah and the over. And that is, maybe I have to find that one as well. I'm trying to make better radio here. Nebraska, Colorado. I know I saw that one as well. Nebraska, by the way, so it was 36-14. Oh, I did Nebraska. Okay. Excuse me. It's Monday. I apologize. I had Utah, Baylor. And Utah played really, really well. Very excited about Utah, Baylor. It was 2013. I had Utah, and I had the over, so I went 1-1. So finally missed one. That makes me a little happier. So 6-1 so far. Next up, I had Miami, Texas A&M. And I want to talk a little bit about Texas A&M while I'm looking up the score here for Miami, Texas A&M. They spent a lot, and I mean a lot, of money to get Jimbo Fisher. And I always thought, deep down in my heart of hearts, that, man, that is not money well spent. Not a big fan. Haven't been a big fan. Not going to be a big fan. And it is not boding well for them. There was no doubt that I was taking Miami. And I took Miami and I took the over and I won both. That was an 81 score game. Miami playing really, really well, and Texas A&M not playing very well, which is not good. I took the over for the Iowa State game. It did not get there. It was 33, so there's a loss. It's not a loss that I, you know, I don't like betting on those games. Anyway, the Alabama Texas game, you know what I bet there, because I can never bet Texas to win anything, so I did not. Texas won that, so there's a loss that I took that. But I did take the over, and I'm losing that. See, these sheets should match up sometimes, and they do not match up all the time, and that makes me mad because I can't get to them as quickly as I would like to. The last one that I had, was Texas Tech and Oregon. And I have to be really honest with you. That is one that even as of today, I'm going to be surprised when I see it, because I have not seen a score from that game, because as soon as we got home, I was betting on and doing all my work on NFL games, which we will get to in this next segment. But man, there was some really, really, really good football games this weekend, and you know it's going to continue, because we're going to be getting in here soon enough where you're going to have games. Conference games coming up. I think there's going to be a lot of conference games that are going to be a lot of fun and a lot of fun to watch, because I think you're going to be surprised at how close some of these games are going to be, especially in conferences that are getting ready to turn. So they're getting ready to, they're getting ready to go from divisions into, because they're adding people, it's going to be a ton of fun. I did bet on the Georgia game this weekend too. I bet Georgia and won that one. I should have bet the one game that I didn't bet, and I didn't bet during here, but I bet during the week. I took USC. That was another. Caleb Williams, they haven't played anybody yet. So, you have that. But, and I'm looking at him. So here's the tough thing for me. I'm looking at him. And I watched Patrick Mahomes play against Iowa State. And I didn't think Patrick Mahomes, I mean, I saw him do a couple of things and you're like, wow, he's not disciplined. He's probably not as disciplined as you would like to see. But man, that kid can do some things. Caleb Williams is disciplined, has a cannon, just like Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting to see what that young kid can do. Texas Tech, Oregon game. Oregon won the game. I figured that Oregon would win the game, and I definitely thought it would be the over because I didn't think either one of them would play. And the over-under was 67, and they got to 68. Oregon won that game 38-30, and I don't know if Oregon won that game or if Texas Tech gave that game away. That was a difficult game to watch if you are a Texas Tech fan and a Big 12 fan, because it should have been a lot bigger. It should have been a closer game. Actually, Texas Tech should have won the game if you really look at it. Some crazy things that happened this weekend. North Carolina, after a huge win last weekend, goes double overtime to beat Appalachian State. Probably doesn't bode well. Oklahoma, 28-11, barely getting by SMU. That probably doesn't bode well in the whole scheme of things. Washington State, the lone Pac-12 team with Oregon State, who don't have a home, crushing Wisconsin. I don't know what to say. If that's the thing, and it happens in the Big 12. It happens sometimes when I'm watching Iowa State and I go, I understand, but we're so conservative. And football teams that are going to go far this year are teams that aren't going to be conservative on offense. Now, I get it that they have better players, or they have more players, or whatever. But it's one of the things going forward, and that's why Iowa and Iowa State are so much alike. They built their teams around defense to not give up points and hope my offense can score enough. And that works in a lot of games when you're playing teams that are trying to do the same thing. But when you're somebody and you're the University of Iowa or Iowa State, you have to play LSU, how they play. If you have to play Oregon, how they play. If you have to play Tennessee, how they play. Now, I get it that you can play defense and maybe you can get in. The reason Michigan and Iowa had so many great games is Michigan and Iowa were the same programs. We're not going to make mistakes, and we're going to have great defenses, and we're going to win these games 14-13 or 13-9. And then Jim Harbaugh's like, okay, I can't get where I need to go unless we can score. Now they're scoring 40 points a game. Ohio State's scoring 40 points a game. Georgia's scoring 40 points a game. Florida State scoring over 40 points a game. USC scoring over 45 points a game. Penn State scoring over, no matter who you're playing. Penn State played Delaware this week. You telling me that Delaware and Utah State are that different of a team? And Penn State put 63 up. Now I get once again, what David said today, we put up points enough to know where we need to be, and that's how we're going to be. Okay, but that's not going to be winning football. It may be winning football this year, but it's not going to be winning football anymore. You're going to have to score. And when you go to a 12-team playoff and you have to be able to get in, if you don't win your conference and you have to get in, you're going to be weighed on how you play. So if you think winning a game 20-13 or winning a game 48-21, you think which way they're looking for, they're looking for 48-21 because 23-13 doesn't get you viewers. And that's all that 12-team playoff thing's going to be looking for. How can we get the most people watching so we can make the most money? I'm telling you, it's not even going to be, some of the times, it's not even going to be fair how they get to the 12. Because they have to make money. And nobody wants to watch a 12-10 game in college football anymore. It's past its prime. It's not working. It's not going to be that way. You've got to be able to score. You have to be able to put up points. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We'll be back. Happy Monday, everybody. Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. The website, 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up. You can download them wherever you download your podcast. Or you can go to Audio Boom. I upload in Audio Boom. You can get them anywhere, though. Tonight, we have the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, 6:30 pregame, Westwood 1. There you go. This next segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides, designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, and card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company, Woodman Controls. Okay, so made some bets this weekend. I did better on NFL than I did for college, but then I did some extra ones as well. We talked about them on Friday. First one up, I took Cincinnati -2.5 and took the under. I went 1-1. Cincinnati did not play well. Cleveland played amazing. Myles Garrett, man, that was an ugly game for Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals that they have to bounce back from. Can they bounce back from it? Of course they can. It's not what you expected from them, but yes. The next one, I took Jacksonville, and I took the over. I hit on both of those. I took the Minnesota and the under. The over-under was 45, and it was, and Tampa Bay showed. Minnesota has, I have two teams that, and I'm waiting to see tonight. So I have two, and I have a third one, and I think you know my third one is Buffalo. But my first two, and these are coaching things. The LA Chargers and the Minnesota Vikings are, I mean, they're in coaching purgatory. They don't do bad enough that you can go O'Connell and the LA Charger, Staley. They don't do bad enough to where you go, oh my gosh, we've got to get rid of them. And you should be looking and going, oh my gosh, we got to do something, because we have a little bit of time with who we have. Is Kirk Cousins the answer? he's the answer. Is he put in the best situations? I mean, they asked him to do too much. Justin Jefferson, I don't care who you are. There is no way. I don't care how good Tampa Bay is, and I don't care how good their defensive coordinator is. You have Baker Mayfield on the other side of the ball, and you did not get Justin Jefferson the ball in the second half. And the first words out of everybody's mouth, well, they were double and triple. Yeah, okay, then scheme him open. You get paid millions of dollars. This isn't high school football. Scheme him open. Do something. I mean, that was Minnesota was by far the better team, and Tampa Bay came in to Minnesota. That's a game that when you get down to the end of the year and they're looking which one deserves to be in the playoffs, and it's not when you lose a home game to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Baker Mayfield. That was a really, really bad game. I had the Saints over the Titans. It was New Orleans -3. They didn't cover the over. I took the under. The under was that's the easiest bet in the world. And betting against the Titans, they did just enough to keep it close enough to where you couldn't win a double bet. Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry are not a combination, and they're not a combination that's going to win you enough to get to the playoffs, even in that division. It's just I don't see it happening. I really don't. Next up, I had the Cardinals and the Commanders. I had Washington and the over, and I lost both. It was a 7 point and 38, and they won by 4, and it was 36. So I lost both of those. I had the Ravens. I had 10, and I had the under. I hit both. The Bears and the Packers, I had the under, and it was over. And I had Chicago, and they played horrible. I don't know if Jordan Love is going to be the three-peat for Green Bay with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Love. If that's how Jordy Love has looked and that's how Jordy Love could be, and you took 2 years of Aaron Rodgers giving you all that grief, you might have lost out on some very precious time there. I took the Broncos and the under, and I went 1-1. The Broncos should have won that game. I don't know what Russell Wilson's going to be or what Russell Wilson's going to do. This was my biggest one of the weekend. The most money I bet, I had $50 on this game. It was a bonus bet, and it was Philadelphia and New England. I thought I was easy peasy with Philadelphia 4 and taking the over. And I thought I was going to lose outright. The Patriots just did not play well with that last drive to be able to win that game. I should have lost that. I should have lost that bet. I should have lost my $50 and did not. So I was pretty happy about that. Then I took the Chargers and the over split. Once again, Brendan Staley may be the worst coach in the NFL. So not only are you hindering your talent at quarterback because you're a defensive coordinator, but you're a defensive coordinator who can't defend. First firing is going to be him, and they're going to turn the keys over to Kellen Moore and then see what happens. And I'm going to talk about this here in just a second. So hold on. I had the Seattle Seahawks and the under, and I split because the Seattle Seahawks went back to being the Seattle Seahawks. All the Geno Smith should be getting more votes for MVP or look. Yeah, no. No. Matthew Stafford throwing to nobody had 334 yards against the Seattle Seahawks defense. I had the Giants and the over. I got the over. I didn't even get the over. I lost big time on that one. What a pitiful, pitiful game. Now, for all the people out there, and I listened to it all night. I've listened to it on social media or looked and saw it on social media all day. Well, the Cowboys are ready to go and set. They're going to win the Super Bowl. And the Giants are trash. Against that vaunted Dallas Cowboy defense, on their first drive, they drove the ball straight down the field on a third down inside the 10. The center threw the ball back, pretty much rolled the ball back. And Daniel Jones didn't pick it up, and they recovered and had to kick a field goal. The field goal got blocked and ran in for a touchdown. Pouring down rain, game over. I mean, it was a hideous performance by the Giants, okay by the Cowboys. I mean, you have nothing to compare it to. I mean, I won my first round in the NFL because of Dallas' defense and Tony Pollard. And he had 70 yards, but he had two touchdowns. Dak Prescott threw for 143 yards. I think the Dallas Cowboys would be ecstatic if they could keep him at 143 yards and have Tony Pollard get 70 and two touchdowns and they could win football games. So tonight, so I'm over 500 for the weekend, quite a bit. I'm actually at like 67 and a half. Tonight I just put my bet with BetMGM in. I took the Jets, so I'm plus points, and I took the under. And when you go through and you look at this through the weekend, and it may not stay that same way for tonight, but the under has been quite generous this first weekend. Sometimes you think it would be the other way around. The weather, it's not extremely hot in different places, and offenses and defenses, depending on where you're at, you would think defenses would be in front of that. Don't tell that to the Miami Dolphins. Boy, what a two things with the Miami Dolphins, and I'll talk about this when Scott comes in tomorrow. So just a heads up again for this weekend or this week. Here today. Here tomorrow, Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We'll go through all of our stuff because then Scott's on a business trip. And the next two nights, Rose Soiree for Broadlands is Thursday night. So I am going to that for their fundraiser. And we have another fundraiser on Friday that Scott is joining, or I'm joining him, it's with Diva Roofing and Christmas presents. So we're extremely excited about helping out with that. Getting back to some of the coaches and some of the moves. So Coach O'Connell with the Minnesota Vikings, I don't know if he wants Kirk Cousins. He doesn't. If he likes Kirk Cousins, he doesn't like Kirk Cousins. He's an offensive coordinator, offensive-minded guy. So it fits my criteria, right? I think that you win in the NFL by scoring points. You have to have a defense that can stop people a few times a game, as long as you have an offense. And when you go down and you look at the teams that have done well, they're offensive-minded teams. So when you look at the Chicago Bears, when you look yesterday and you're looking at the Green Bay Packers and you're looking at the Chicago Bears, Justin Fields, Jordan Love, a offensive-minded head coach in Green Bay, a defensive-minded head coach in Chicago with Justin Fields. Justin Fields cannot do anything about that. He can't. There is zero that he can do. They looked they didn't look good. They did not look good on offense. They did not look good on defense. That does not bode well for a team that has that type of telemetry there. You have Matt LaFleur is at Green Bay. What he did with Jordan Love, they have to have their they got to keep their running backs healthy. That's going to make a difference if they can't play. Jordy Love looked great. Play calling was outstanding. Had Chicago, I mean, even their defensive play calling was amazing. The Chargers yesterday, losing 36-34, that was an embarrassment yesterday. I'm sorry. There's nothing. You have a quarterback in Justin Herbert who is one of the I'm thinking he may even be higher, but he's definitely in the top five. And you can't stay out of his way. It was horrific. You can't let Miami do what they did. So you hindered your quarterback with incredibly lame play calling, and you gave up 600 yards on defense. That can't happen. So, I mean, it's after the, and I get it's the first week. Anybody who said, hey, I got the NFC South, we're going to have three teams that are going to win their first game, and only the Panthers lost, which I think everybody is seeing. The Panthers are rebuilding. And then you have the AFC West, where the only team that won was the Raiders. In a 17-16 game, that it's leaving you. I don't. So Sean Payton, you're at home. You start the game off with an onside kick that doesn't work. And if Sean Payton came to save Russell Wilson, I think the Denver Broncos are in trouble. If he came to be the person who has enough stature that can bench Russell Wilson, maybe you're going to have success. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Last segment coming up. Welcome back in. Once again, happy Monday. Last segment on this Monday. Glad everybody came in today. Thank you for coming in. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Please drive safely home. Big game tonight. Big Jets, Bills. Get in early. You loser this game, it's double because it's in division. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. That Bills and Jets game is coming up at 6:30 right here. Westwood 1, Marv Albert. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. I want to thank Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Broad Lawns Medical Center. Bolder, better, brighter. A lot more to come from them as well. Thank you very much. Couldn't do the show without you. Okay, so looking at this weekend and going through winners and losers, if your quarterback had a QBR rating of 60% or better, you had a really good chance to win. The leader in that category, Brock Purdy, 91.3. Matthew Stafford, a really big comeback game and season for him, had 88.9. Tua, 87.7. Jimmy Garoppolo, 83.4. Russell Wilson, as much as people want to say, was at 74.8. Jordan Love was 73.4. Dak Prescott, 72.7. Deshaun Watson, 65.9. Trevor Lawrence, 64.7. Derek Carr 62.6, Baker Mayfield 61.8. The next one's up. Kirk Cousins at 55, Justin Herbert at 51, Mac Jones at 49, all lost. Sam Howell at 45, won. Geno Smith at 44, lost. Jalen Hurts 36, won. Desmond Ritter 28.9, won. Kenny Pickett 23.9, lost. Anthony Richardson 23.5, lost. Justin Fields 21.7, lost. Joshua Dobbs 21.7, lost. C.J. Stroud 21.2, Kirk. Who else do we have here? Lamar Jackson 13.6, won. Not you guys, and might have been who they were playing. My Baltimore Ravens did not play well. It didn't score well for my fantasy football team, but hey, I'm okay with that. No, I'm just kidding. So it's just, there's just a lot of different things that go on. I mean, I get that you have to play defense in the NFL, but this is not a defensive league anymore. You have to be able to stop opponents for a couple of drives a game. And if you have an offense, it can even go down further than that. I don't understand all the, I don't know. I think you have to get to be maybe 57-43, you know, offense related. I mean, of all the wins this weekend, I mean, most of them were offensive wins. I'm sorry. It's tough. First look at week two lines. Just started kind of strolling out today. Philadelphia is 7.5-point favorite over Minnesota. The Chargers are -3.5 at Tennessee. Chargers on the road, no way I'm taking that. Green Bay at Atlanta, -1. Nah, that's not enough points. That has to go up after watching this weekend. Houston is -1.5 going into Indianapolis. Versus Indianapolis. So I think Houston's at home. Detroit is at home against Seattle, -5.5. That's going to be a very interesting game. Tampa Bay is -3 with Chicago coming into Tampa Bay. Interesting. Buffalo is 9.5-point favorites over Las Vegas. We'll see after tonight how that stands. Kansas City is 2.5-point favorites at Jacksonville. Man, if they don't have Travis Kelce, there's no way that's staying there. Cincinnati is -3.5 at home against Baltimore. They're going to have to play a lot better than what they just played. The New York Giants are -4.5. Arizona, if you're the New York Giants, Daniel Jones, you need somebody, then maybe Arizona is your savior. The 49ers are going, they are at L.A. And the San Francisco 49ers are -8.5. After watching both games this weekend, and Brock Purdy played really well, but man, so did the Rams. That seems like a lot. The Dallas Cowboys are -3.5 going into New York. Interesting. The Denver Broncos are -3.5 going into Washington. No way. I would take the Washington Commanders easy peasy there, actually, even more. Okay, so this was one that, so I have a buddy that sends me these, your choice, but you can only choose one, and he always hits some of these movies that I've watched a ton of them. So here are the six today. They are 48 Hours, The Last Boy Scout, Tango and Cash, Bad Boys, Rush Hour, and Nice Guys. Even though I liked Nice Guys, I took that one out because it doesn't stack up. As much as I loved Rush Hour, I took that one out. And these next four, it's tough because I love all four. I took 48 Hours out. So I got Bad Boys, Last Boy Scout, and Tango and Cash. I'll take Tango and Cash out, but I really liked it. So it's between Bad Boys and Last Boy Scout. And I really like Bruce Willis in this movie. But I think I'm taking Bad Boys. We'll see how that is. One of the interesting things, the Ryder Cup's coming up. And from 1996 to 2021, there were 535 players that played at least 250 rounds. Leading up to in that 96, Tiger came in like 95, 96. He really hit the spotlight. The only reason I remember that is because my oldest over Easter is when Tiger won his first Masters. And that he was getting ready to turn a year old. But so of players that played 250 rounds, everybody says the number one, before Tiger came, the number one thing to help you score low was fairway accuracy. Tiger Woods from 1996 to 2021 was 389th out of 535 in fairway accuracy and won 70 times. You know what he was first in? Par 5 scoring average. And it changed the way golf is because that's how golf is played now. How far can I hit it? And I don't care if I'm not in the fairway. If I can hit it 60 yards past everybody else and I'm in rough, I think I'm okay. I mean, that is how big a difference he made in the sport. Once again, earlier today, I talked about this being the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. I still think one of the biggest days ever for this country, trying to recover and recuperate, was George Bush going out and throwing that pitch and throwing it right down the middle of the plate. I know that it had no magical thing. It was just, hey, we're okay. We're watching a baseball game. We're all here in New York. Yes, everything is horrific in areas around here. This day, this game, this president, that pitch helped. I remember like it was yesterday. It helped. I cheered. I jumped up and down. It mattered. And it was a difficult time. Here is the biggest thing, and it happened to a whole bunch of teams this weekend. And the big one that everybody was waiting is to get Kenny Pickett in his postgame. And some people asked Kenny Pickett why the team struggled to execute against the 49ers, especially after a strong preseason, which he played in, which is good that he played in it. I think San Francisco's starting defense is a little bit better than some of the teams in preseason we played. Really? That's pretty obvious there. That was the thing. Kenny Pickett, and they thought, man, we're going to be good. Kenny Pickett's look good. You know, they gave him some time. They showed him what to do. It doesn't matter until you start playing real. A lot of things. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Going to be in here tomorrow. Have a great night. Drive home safe. Watch Monday Night Football. See you tomorrow.